You may be seated. We're on case 11-859, Alan Stockberger et al., Knox County Commissioners versus James L. Henry, Knox County Engineer. For the appellant, Mr. Gosnell.
Good morning, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Article 12, Section 5A of the Ohio Constitution provides that MVGT funds may be used to pay for the costs for constructing, reconstructing, maintaining, and repairing public roads and bridges. One of the costs of doing all of those activities is the risk of liability and loss, and it is that risk that is incurred every time the county engineer's highway department builds, maintains, and repairs roads and bridges. The CORSA premium at issue in this case is simply one mechanism by which the county pays for that cost. The county buys insurance and shifts the risk of the liability and loss to CORSA. As such, the CORSA premium falls squarely within the limits of Section 5A as a highway purpose and is properly payable out of MVGT funds. To hold otherwise would be to essentially carve out an exception in Section 5A for certain costs of building and maintaining roads and bridges, those in the nature of insurance.
Is there evidence in the record to show that the CORSA premium pertains to a highway purpose?
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, that is the entire purpose of this case, because we took the Knox 1 decision from this court, recognizing that this court was concerned that in that case there wasn't a factual record. Here, the facts are, I think we could say, in about four general categories that show why it's a highway purpose. First, and this is very important because it's something that the Court of Appeals got wrong, and it was something that this court clearly had concerns with in Knox 1, and that is that the premium that we are talking about here relates solely to the cost of insurance that covers the highway department of the county engineer's office. In Knox 1, that wasn't clear. In this case, the evidence is clear that we are talking about the insurance that pays for the risk of liability loss when the engineer's highway department goes out and fills a pothole or regrades a road.
Apparently don't agree that it's clear, because the appellees argue that this record contains essentially the same information that the prior record contained. So what is different in this record that would refute that?
Yes. Your Honor, the record in Knox 1 consisted essentially of the pleadings and a few affidavits attached to summary judgment motions. The record contained the invoice and the calculations used to determine the premium, and that was essentially it. There was no evidence like
that,
there
that
is here.
That was decided on summary judgment.
And it was decided on cross motions for summary judgment.
This time you went back and you developed the full record.
We had a one-day trial, Your Honor, with I believe three live witnesses, and one witness testified by stipulation. There are 33 exhibits in the record. It's not a huge record, but it is a full and complete record that establishes, one, that we're only talking about the highway department insurance here. We're not talking about, for example, the MAP department, which this court had concerns with in Knox 1. Is this insurance covering the MAP department? It's not. And it doesn't, unlike what the Court of Appeals suggested in its decision here. Does it even cover when Mr. Henry, the Knox County engineer, acts as the sanitary engineer or the stormwater engineer?
So the actuarial analysis is only based on the highway department's performance or claims?
Yeah. What happens here is that Knox County has a total premium. And for the year in question, we're talking about approximately $217,000. The actuary has developed a formula that says, okay, for example, the general liability line of coverage, what percentage of that cost should be attributable to the highway department? And they do that by using the payroll data is essentially what they use. And they figure out how much payroll does the highway department have versus the total payroll for the entire county. That percentage then is the highway department's percentage of.
So it's not based on loss experience?
It is indirectly based upon loss experience because the county's total premium is based upon actuarial principles that include both loss experience and exposure. And so the total premium includes the claims that arise out of the highway department. The testimony in the record was that it would be not actuarially sound to then do a second layer of loss history for purposes of determining a department by department allocation. And
well, that method of calculation would seem to actually minimize the exposure that the engineer's office represents, because they've got snow plows and trucks on the highways and so much more opportunity for accidents than the assistant clerk of court sitting at a desk in the courthouse.
I think the answer to your question, Your Honor, is that's probably true. I mean, when the evidence in the record showed that the county engineer's department had a fairly high percentage of the claims over the relevant period of time. Which would be natural. I mean, we could just look at the numbers and we can make our own assessments. But if the total Knox County premium is roughly $217,000 a year, and the amount we're trying to get recuperated is approximately $20,000, given the history of the county engineer's highway department, it is a fairly low.
The sheriff's department would also have great exposure compared to the deputy.
I think that's correct, and I think the sheriff's department maybe came in third. But I want to be clear here that the lines of liability, the lines of coverage that apply to the sheriff's department, or at least the ones specifically defined to the sheriff's department, are not being attributed or allocated to the county engineer's office. Justice Cupp, to go back to your question, I think it was Justice O'Donnell's too. Not only do we have the fact that we're only talking about the highway department premium here, that which covers only the highway department, the testimony in the record also explains what the different lines of coverage are. That wasn't in the Knox 1 record. And so we have testimony about the four lines of coverage, what types of claims they cover, and specifically what types of claims that arise out of the highway department they would cover. We also have testimony in the record that shows that what we're really talking about here, too, is covering that part of the county's budget that is paid for by MVGT funds. So what we have here is this: the county gets these MVGT funds. They're segregated. They're put into a separate pot, the fund, MVGT fund. That fund is then the county commissioners then allocate that to the county engineer's highway department. And so it makes sense that those very MVGT funds be used to pay for the cost of insurance when those MVGT funds are paying for all the other operations of that highway department.
Counsel, does the statute in any way, any statute specifically say that insurance should be considered as a highway purpose? I mean, for 312, I think 315.12, for example, lays out salaries and operational costs, but there's nothing that specifically talks about the cost of insurance, is there?
To directly answer your question, there's nothing that specifically talks about insurance or costs of CORSA, but I want to respond by saying two things. One, the issue that's actually presented in this case and the proposition of law and what the Court of Appeals held was that 5A prohibits the county engineer or the county commissioners from using MVGT funds to pay for these course of premium costs. Not that it is or is not inconsistent with any statutory mandate or not. And so the constitutional question that is presented here is separate and apart from a statutory question. And the statutory question is important, but it's primarily more important for our cross-appeal below that was never really decided on the merits, which is whether we're entitled to a mandamus, not a mandamus, but a mandatory injunction to order the payment. The second answer I want to say is there are two statutes that we have always argued that authorize the allocation to the MVGT funds for this cost, and that is the 315.12, which was the primary issue in Knox 1, is that this is just an additional cost of operation of the county engineer's office, and so it would be authorized by that statute. But even more so, 2744.081, that statute that creates entities like CORSA, specifically has a provision in it that says that you can allocate the costs to the different funds within in this case, the counties. And one of the funds in a county is the MVGT fund. And so that statute also provides the statutory hook for doing what we propose in this case.
Let me get to a subsidiary question here, and that is, let's just assume for purposes of argument that the court agrees with your argument on whether or not the Constitution allows it to be paid. Then there's a secondary question about whether it's required to be paid and who makes the decision if it's not required, if it's permissive.
Yeah. Absolutely, Your Honor, and that was part of this case, and it was a part of the appeal to the Fifth District. And the Fifth District didn't address those issues on their merits because it got rid of them by simply saying, look, we've held that the MVGT funds can't be used. So the merits of the cross appeal simply go away. While we sought to raise both issues at this court, this court took only the constitutional issue, and that makes sense because, you know, if you disagree with us, then the case goes away. If you agree with us, though, then it should go back to the Court of Appeals because the parties and this court would benefit from a Court of Appeals addressing those questions in the first instance, and we would suggest that that's what should happen here. Is that this court should hold that the Court of Appeals got it wrong, that MVGT funds can be used to pay insurance costs that are attributable to covering the highway operations of the county, in this case, the county engineer.
Is this a statewide problem? Are other counties and county engineer offices wrestling with these issues, or are these paid, or are they not paid, or what's the... across Ohio?
It is a statewide issue. I believe there was testimony in the record from the executive director of CORSA that you know, we have 60-some CORSA members, and so the county engineers and the county commissioners in all of those counties are wrestling with this decision. There are non-CORSA counties, and they also have to wrestle with these decisions.
Well, so my understanding is these monies are being used for these purposes?
Yes, my understanding is that...
And are there counties where it is not being used?
The answer is yes. Some counties, the county engineers and the county commissioners have agreed to use MVGT funds to defray some of the costs of insurance.
And you're suggesting to us in this instance that the CORSA premium is $217,000 for Knox County, $20,000 of which is attributable, according to testimony at trial, for highway purposes of the county engineer's office. Do I understand your argument correctly?
That is our argument, that for the year in question, that approximately $20,000 of the total $217,000 CORSA premium is what the actuary has said is properly attributable to the Highway Department of the Knox County Engineer.
So the constitutional question we wrestle is whether or not the Constitution authorizes it, and then if it does, it has to go back to the court for some determination. That's your position.
That is our position. Did it fall squarely within the provisions of a cost of building roads and bridges? I see that I'm out of my time. I will reserve the balance for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Leggett.
Good morning. Luther Leggett for Knox County Engineer Jim Henry, who's with me, Heather Logan Mellick, my co-counsel, and Fred Vero for the County Engineers Association of Ohio. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. Here we are, Knox 2.
And I got a question for you.
Yes.
You obviously have read my dissent, so you probably have an idea where I'm coming from. But what I don't understand about your argument, let me ask you, the language in the Constitution says that one of the authorized expenditures is expenditures authorized for hospitalization of indigent persons injured in motor vehicle accidents on public highways. So if somebody in Knox County was injured on a highway, sued and recovered, the funds from the highway department or the tax that are collected would be going to pay that person that was injured. Is that correct?
It is a fact-by-fact determination. And today is only whether the CORSA premium, which is none of those.
No. I'm not asking that question. I'm asking.
It could be.
If a person is injured and they're not insured, then the taxes that were collected under the under the Constitution can be used to pay that person's injuries.
Could be, depending
on
the facts.
What's the could be?
It's a factual determination as to whether that was related to a highway purpose.
Okay. Simple. Let's take that factor out.
Right.
It was related.
Right.
It was
it
related. They are indigent. That tax money is used then available to pay that.
Yes, and a good example is Cuyahoga County. Cuyahoga County neither is part of CORSA, and this is in the record, by the way,
okay,
and does not buy insurance.
So you could have one injury that could run you $1 million, and you have no coverage.
That's correct. And
so you're saying that you would rather have that bare exposure than pay a premium for insurance and say that's not covered and not related.
Plaintiff's testimony below was that the largest counties in Ohio have made that business decision.
They self-insure.
Because the actual risk is so low that
they choose to self-insure.
That's right.
You say they can choose to self-insure,
but
they can't use some of those funds to buy insurance.
It's not insurance. CORSA is a self-insurance pool.
I know.
But 081, that's
a
very important distinction.
It's a coverage. It's a risk coverage.
It is, and okay. So, but again, the factual determination you've walked through is not the CORSA premium. In the record, by the way, there is no evidence that other engineers are using this money. That is not part of the record. That's speculative. Number two, there is no risk analysis. The facts in Knox 1 and Knox 2 on this point are identical. The years are different, but the entire proportion, the way it's been allocated is on a strictly a proportional basis. Zero risk, zero exposure consideration. When they say there's exposure considered,
would that make a difference to you?
Makes a huge difference.
Well, tell me what the difference would be if they could point to chapter and verse how much you incur.
Because they didn't bother to. The evidence is devoid of any.
You're not saying that you could never use these funds for the purpose of a proportional premium with CORSA. You're arguing the amount that you've been billed.
No. Proportional, we believe, is inherently flawed because of Grandel v. Rhodes. Grandel v. Rhodes requires a direct nexus to the highway purpose. We would agree that, as Justice Stratton said, if you can show that the liability arose directly out of that construction, then you've got a case.
Okay.
But they've never done that.
All right. Well, let's because the Constitution says that you can use these funds to cover the losses incurred by an indigent as a result of highway engineer office activities related to the highway, correct?
Directly related.
Okay. So you're saying that you want to figure a premium only based on the experience that has been shown for that type of coverage?
Well, I think that's the argument they have to make, and the problem is they put no evidence on. When they say they put on, for instance, a past record of losses out of the engineer, that included employment losses. That
okay.
has nothing to do with highway purposes. It's got to be directly connected, and they have no evidence of that.
Don't you buy insurance and hope you never have to use it?
Not the largest counties in Ohio. And it's a business decision. It doesn't directly relate to the bricks and mortars of building the highway.
What about the smallest counties in Ohio?
They
don't have
Gorsuch.
Such a big budget to deal with, and one accident might create quite a financial difficulty unless there is some insurance or risk sharing.
60 of them have made the business decision to join CORSA. But the inherent flaw with CORSA is not only that there is no risk analysis, no direct casualty loss. Inherently, then, we pay Knox County highway funds, which should go to highways, and there's a Medina County loss. That's not a Knox County highway purpose.
If you had a Knox County loss and you only have so much in your highway taxes and the judgment is this big, you're covered by Medina County funds.
But again, that fails the Granville v. Rhodes test, which is what we're here about today. It has to be related to the highway. Let me step back, because I think here's the bigger issue. We get down to the minutia. It kind of ignored is Article 12.5, Section 5. And that says that when the taxpayers pass a tax, you have to use it for that purpose. We pass an MRDD levy. It has to be used for the MRD department. And what this case is truly about, the pilot purpose of this case, is to take somewhat related but not directly related expenses of the local government and spread them across the funds. Mr. Gosnell, I believe, misspoke when he pointed out on 0.081, says you can allocate across the funds. That says CORSA can allocate across its clients. It does not authorize the county. There is zero authorization in statute that says you can take the CORSA premium and allocate it across the MRDD fund, for instance, or levy. That's the issue today, is not only if we reverse the Court of Appeals today, there are two things that are going to happen. Well, three. Number one is going to be the next lawsuit is a mandamus. They call it mandatory injunction, but let's be serious. It's a mandamus to order the payment. Number two is going to be what other expenses should be paid out by the highway fund, because it's a fact determination. And number three is what other funds are going to be attacked for general costs. So the prosecutor writes the highway contracts. Shouldn't that be reimbursed by the highway fund? The treasurer collects the highway tax. Shouldn't that be proportionally paid by the highway fund? The auditor writes the warrants to pay the contractors for the construction. Shouldn't that be underwritten by the highway fund? In the end, we won't have a highway fund.
I find that there is much more of a nexus because of the language in the statute that talks about you pay for the damage, the injuries, if it happens. And so it seems to me that that has already appeared in the statute, giving the nexus. You either pay for the injuries or you can insure or be a risk pool mm-hmm. against those if your pot as a county is so small you could never pay a catastrophic injury.
I agree those are legitimate considerations, but they have to be decided on a case-by-case basis by the political officials who are elected to make those decisions. So, for instance, 315.12, again, they say, well, here's another authority. 315.12 was passed before the constitutional restriction. The constitutional 3A was passed because of 315.12, because back in the Depression, they were raiding these funds and there wasn't any highway money. So you don't reconcile. It wasn't the legislature later come back and say, you know, we could use the highway money to spend for this office. Just the reverse. It is a restriction to say this is for bricks and mortar, as it would be tar and shovels, for the highway. And consider the next point. I believe, while it's not, it's just as the enforcement action is sitting there in the wings, and just as this goes to other funds and other agencies and other costs against highway, so is the issue about who makes the decision, and Justice Kupp raised this issue. I believe that the standard used below was incorrect, a de novo, every time we have one of these cases, let's go to court. And we raised time and time again the standing issue. Can the county commissioners sue their own guy who has no standing? You know, in the statute, the standing of a county is the county commissioners, not the county. And the Court of Appeals answered that to say, well, this is just a declaratory judgment. Really? Is the must pay, the mandamus, a declaratory judgment? Isn't that an issue of discretion? Who makes the decision? That's laying in the wings, too. So let me give you another hypothetical.
But that's not before us.
Well, but
it's not what we took in here.
It isn't, but it's directly what he referred to.
Okay, but let's focus on what we're here today to decide. So just from my understanding, who pays for the, for want of a better term, auto insurance or the truck insurance or whatever for all the vehicles that the county engineer operates?
County engineer, because it's titled in the county, I'm sorry, the county commissioners, because every vehicle in the county is titled in the county.
And what type of insurance do they have to cover that?
Corso.
Okay.
They also have a line item, by the way. This is an important distinction. The Corso agreement says that any payment made for a vehicular accident is paid to the county commissioners, not to the county, not to the engineer. And the county commissioners appropriate a line item that says vehicular accidents. One of the distinctions that kind of was a red herring below was there was a truck that was snow plowing, and there's a deductible. And the county said...
And the deductible is the line item.
Well, the county has a line. The commissioners have a line item,
right,
but not the engineer. And so the county commissioners say, engineer, this was on the highway. This is highway purpose, Justice Stratton. And he agreed. Why did he turn it down?
He paid the deductible.
He agreed to. He agreed to say, you know, he agreed that it was a highway purpose. He refused to pay it because they refused to do a line item. His point was, you didn't budget it, so let's get the budget process right, and I'll pay it. And so you get into these arguments of it's not, the decision isn't, is it a highway purpose? The commissioners own the trucks. The commissioners have the line item to pay not only the insurance, but the commissioners have the line item to pay the deductibles. So our position was, back to the commissioners, you give us a line item to pay the deductibles, we'll pay that. We think that is highway purpose. And that gets again to the question, who gets to decide? What if the auditor hypothetically said, the engineer says, sure, of course it's highway. What if the auditor said, no, it's not, that's unconstitutional? That's the auditor's job. That's within the auditor's scope. And what that test should not be is de novo. Well, the auditor's wrong. Let's sue the auditor. That test should be clear and convincing evidence. Was it reasonable or was it an abuse of discretion?
Unless it's a question of law, which is what we have here.
This is
a question of law.
Not according to Knox 1. Knox 1 said, and you heard Mr. Gosnell say, it was if there's evidence, that's an issue of fact. And the evidence below in this case is identical to Knox 1.
So then you're conceding that Corsa can be allocated. Mm-hmm. All is a factual thing?
I'm conceding that it's a factual issue. Corsa inherently will never meet that because it's prospective, because it's multiple counties. It can never be said, there will never be direct evidence, and there was never below.
You think that Knox 1 did settle the issue of whether the funds can be used for Corsa. Now we're just looking at proof. And you think there's not enough proof?
I think Knox 1 did actually solve this, that we shouldn't be here today.
The nexus between the highway purpose and Corsa has not been established in your position here.
That's exactly right.
All right. So say the county has Corsa, mm-hmm. All right, and it doesn't ask the engineer for any contribution. Mm-hmm. Is the engineer covered?
It depends on what the commissioners agreed to with Corsa. I think the answer is yes, because they've been paying the premium.
They what?
I think the answer is yes, but it's a decision of the commissioners to go bare or not. You know.
Well, wait a second. Do they have that option that we will piecemeal accept Corsa coverage? We'll do it for the sheriff. We'll do it for all of the departments, but we won't cover the county engineer in
yes.
any activity the county engineer has. That's
like,
possible to do.
It is just like any other insurance. You can buy auto and not life. You can buy casualty, not home insurance. And that's the idea, is they're self-insuring as a group.
Except if something happens and it's a highway-related incident, action, and the county engineer is at fault, and who is then liable for that injury?
Let's take the snowplow. Corsa paid that off except for the deductible. And Mr. Henry agreed to pay the deductible with highway funds. So you can factually determine that there are opportunities.
Now, you're saying that because the county owned the truck?
Correct. And paid for
it. But it was a county engineer employee operating it?
Correct. On a highway.
So the compromise, apparently, was the engineer's going to pay the deductible and the county's going to pay, or CORSA will cover the lion's share.
That is fact. And
okay.
I thought you said he refused to pay the deductible because they wouldn't give him a line item.
It was a procedural issue, not what we're here to debate. That's the point. They just handed him a bill, and he says, well, which line item do you want me to put this to? Because you didn't in your budget process. If you do that in the future... The only line item in the county budget was the county commissioners because they own the trucks. And they have in the past been paying the deductible. So they tried to turn that around and say, well, here, pay it. And he says, I would if you'd appropriate it, and we'll do that in the future. And I think that's a great example of how you can manage for 88 counties this issue.
I am so confused by this. If they appropriate it, what do you mean if they appropriate? If they have, he maintains the fund, why do the commissioners have to appropriate a line item to get him to pay the deductible on what was clearly a truck owned by the county driven by a highway employee?
It's purely a bureaucratic issue. When you send an invoice to the auditor, you have to point out where in your budget it is. There is nothing that lists.
So you'd always be a year behind because they budget on a yearly basis. So if the accident happens in 2012, you're saying he's not going to pay it until 2013 when they allocate it for a specific line item?
Not the individual deductible, but they didn't even have a category. So you have a category for salaries, payroll. If they didn't budget salaries, he couldn't hire anybody.
But that's really elevating form over substance. That's not required by the law.
The point was that the deductible is not the issue we're really here to deal with. It was really to address Justice Stratton's. These are factual determinations individually.
But you use it in response to her question is, if and I'd really like a straight answer. If
sure.
there is an injury that's occasioned by the highway, according to one of the briefs, the amicus brief, I think, from the County Commissioners Association, that he would be required to pay that out of those funds.
The county could pay it out of the highway funds.
Right. So to insure against that, you're saying is not proper. You would rather have a potential $1 million liability that would come out of those funds versus paying a $20,000 premium that would protect the county and those funds from a $1 million judgment.
That is in the discretion of the policymakers. In this case, they join CORSA. In other counties, they buy insurance. In Cuyahoga County, they do neither. That is not the issue today.
Comparing Cuyahoga County and Knox County really isn't the issue either. We just want to stick with where we are in Knox County.
Yeah, that's fine. In this case, the issue was the county commissioners said pay a proportional amount, simply divide the number of cars, and say CORSA, therefore, should be paid by highway funds for that. There's no evidence, zero evidence in the record in Knox 1 or Knox 2, that proportion had anything to do with highway liability. And in fact, the Court of Appeals, I think this is just as important. The payment is prospective.
Your real objection to CORSA is that the premiums are for the future and that the premiums also may cover other counties. Is that right?
And don't cover the engineer's liability per se. That's the nexus under Grandel v. Rhodes. Which portion of CORSA actually covers the actual work on a highway?
But isn't that the whole mechanism of insurance in general? It is based on, past experiences in general. You're buying, you're not buying a policy that is tailored only to Knox County. There's no such policy of this type that is tailored only to Knox County or only to the engineer's office. You're buying into a pool. And that whole pool is created based on risk and based on, contribution, et cetera. And to say that it's not, I don't want a one-size-fits-all type of coverage. I want something that is so minute and specific and tailored. And if I can't get that, I'm going to go bare. And I want to be totally exposed. I want to have my whole fund of motor vehicle gas tax dollars available for a claimant and strip the county of the ability to use those dollars for road repair or anything else. I mean, that's basically what you're saying. As a public servant, that's an argument that your client wants to make?
That's what this court said in Grandel v. Rhodes, and that's the issue.
I think that's an extrapolation of that is
well, that was Knox
warranted.
1 as well. And the evidence, the Knox 1 says, go back and show us the evidence that connects this premium to the actual construction of the highway, and they didn't do that.
Because and you're saying they can't do that because CORSA premiums cover highway purposes in some instances if there were a highway accident, such as the snowplow. But they also cover employment problems in Medina County, and they also cover a myriad of county problems in other counties
and,
Knox County.
And prospectively.
Which are not highway purposes.
And moreover, they didn't even attempt to do that by risk or exposure. It's just a, let's divide the number of employees and we'll assess that amount.
I'm not sure what your position is on whether liability insurance can be purchased to cover the county engineer's highway operations with gas tax fund dollars. Do you have a position on that?
I think if you could buy an insurance policy that was tailored specifically to the highway work, the answer might be yes. It's a fact determination, and that would meet, and Granville Roads is controlling. And I think that would be a better way to approach it.
So if we went to XYZ insurance carrier and provided coverage for all of those individuals who are employed by the county engineer on highways and provide coverage for them during the periods of time that they're working for the county engineer on a highway project or operating a motor vehicle, that would be a highway purpose in your view?
That's arguable, yes. And the point being is that's not what CORSA did.
Here's a fact determination that's obviously already been made. It's really good. Who is paying? Out of what fund are your fees and the cost of this litigation being paid?
Well, I will defer to the plaintiff if they'd like to answer that. I'm not sure I'm at privilege to do that, and I don't know how it relates. Do you care, Gage? This is a friendly lawsuit that's being paid out of the Commissioners Association to pilot this issue. And that's what I raised. This is a much bigger issue than highway funds.
So
can you fund general costs of the administration off on individual funds that are specifically designated? Can MRDD pay for the prosecutor's office proportionally? That's what this case is about. And I don't think that's the right direction. And I think the decision ought to be twofold. We ought to affirm the Court of Appeals that there is no evidence that there's a direct relation, even though they could be in future cases. That was Knox 1. And number two, the standard of review ought to be, if a public official says no, it's an abuse of discretion review.
So everybody's friendly here, that the commissioners and the engineer go have lunch together after?
Gage and I are good buddies. Yes, absolutely. That's true. It is a friendly lawsuit. But it is a big deal to the engineers that we need finality in this. And when they don't make a nexus to highway purpose, it's only the next fund. What is it next? It's going to be the proportion of the prosecutor's office. It's going to be the proportion of the auditors. It's the sheriff's cruiser who's sitting out there on the highway with the flashing lights.
Now, is this a real problem, or is this something you're speculating is going to happen?
It's been a real problem since the 1930s, exactly the purpose of Article 12, Section 3A, exactly the purpose to preserve the money for highways.
And there has been constitutional provisions preserving dollars, and now you're saying that constitutional protection is not sufficient. There's still going to be nickel and diming it and eroding it, and that's what your stand is all about right here. The Constitution isn't protective enough.
No, I think the status quo and Granville Roads is. What's happened is they attacked it in Knox 1. They didn't get the result they wanted. They took the same evidence and are saying, well, it's different, using the dicta in Knox 1 that says, well, if there's evidence of a direct nexus, we'll connect it. The evidence was the same. There's no direct nexus. And so on a fact basis, Jim Henry said that's not connected. His discretion, his opinion should have been given due deference and said, show that that's arbitrary and capricious, not a declaratory judgment, which inevitably is going to lead to a mandamus to order him to pay.
Is this partly about what is a direct cost versus what is an indirect charge? In my former days as a county commissioner, we used to hire some expert who would go through the county and calculate what were indirect costs so we could apply for some federal reimbursement. And sounds like your concern is that all of those sort of indirect costs, you know, maybe even remote costs are going to end up being coming out of the highway gas tax. But this case seems to be more akin to purchasing the hospitalization insurance for employees who work directly for the highway engineer, who work directly on the highways, which is apparently considered a direct cost.
Well, Madden,
I'm not so sure why mm-hmm. the analogy wouldn't apply to the issue here, not what the extension might be argued later on. Why is this not a direct cost as well?
A great example, and the Court of Appeals actually addressed that. The Madden case said if you buy insurance merely for the employees working on the highway, that's okay. We agree with that. It's fact determination, though. If you buy a policy that covers the liability of working on that highway, maybe that would be
well,
okay.
Counsel, somewhere in here I read that there's the statute that says you, in terms of the engineer's office itself, you take two-thirds for out of the highway junk and one-third comes out of the general.
That was in your dissent in Knox 1, right. And with all due respect, you got it was reversed. That statute came before the constitutional provision.
Right. I understand. You made that
right.
point, so I stand corrected.
No.
Thank you.
But I think the constitutional provision, you have to say that statute is unconstitutional to the extent it conflicts with 5A. So,
but there's been nobody's complaining about that one-third, two-thirds.
No, they're not.
So why wouldn't that be a fair way to apportion this as well, is to look at it and say, well, our formula comes up with it's based on how many employees everybody has. You have this other statute that says one-third, two-thirds, so two-thirds of this should come out of the highway fund. The rest is ours.
Because it's arbitrary? And take, for instance, the hypothetical. Let's say this
you
year.
You have no problem with the arbitrariness of the one-third, two-thirds otherwise.
I do. As to 5A, absolutely. It's unconstitutional. Let's say he doesn't build any highways this year. Can you spend highway funds for a third when it has absolutely no highway activity? No, of course not.
So his trucks aren't on the road, they're not plowing, they're not, fixing cracks and that sort of thing. They're not doing any of that. They're just sitting around doing nothing.
That's the factual determination. What's that proportion? And they've not put any evidence and made no effort to do that, and CORSA doesn't
do that. Is that really how county government is run and government in general, that we're going to do such bean counting to the point where we're going to paralyze our operations and, in your scenario, expose the taxpayers to this type of liability? Is that really what we're here for?
No, but that's not our argument. In the case of Cuyahoga, for instance, they make a decision what's the most cost-effective way to manage that risk. And to simply say we're arbitrarily going to assess a percentage to highway funds, which has a particular test, you can't do that.
Well, you're not governed by the Cuyahoga County government. You're Knox County. There's probably a little bit of difference there.
But we're entitled to the same factual analysis. Is this a highway purpose? Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Council, you've used up 100% of your time, so you can have 30 seconds to sum up.
The case that is more directly on point here is the Madden case, not the Grandel case. In Madden, this court held that paying health insurance premiums for highway department employees was constitutional, and we would suggest that the very same analysis.
So let me ask you, when they figure out the health insurance coverage for the employees of the engineers department, do they figure out how many sick days they take and how many doctor trips and how many operations? And, I mean, is that all figured in and how much the premium is for the members of the engineer's office? And then they go over to the county clerk's office and they figure out how many babies were born and how many. Is that how this is all done and that's how you allocate? So the clerk of courts people, you know, the county pays X amount of dollars for those type of employees. Is that how it's done?
It absolutely is not, Your Honor. In fact, there is testimony in the record that for purposes of health insurance, it's done the exact same way. There is a general cost to the county, and that general cost to the county includes, it does include, loss experience, including the highway department employees' sick days and the costs that are incurred by the highway department employees. That gets put into the total Knox County health insurance premium. That health insurance premium then is allocated by each employer E pays X for their health insurance, and we pay X for their health insurance, and it's a line item in the MVGT budget of the highway department.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, we'll take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decisions. Thank you very much.